9. The next morning, Roland's band of travelers stood at the end of the long, rusty bridge, gazing across at Ludd. Eddie's dreams of wise old elves who had preserved a working technology in which the pilgrims could draw were disappearing. Now that they were this close, he could see holes in the cityscape, where whole blocks of buildings appeared to have been either burned or blasted. The skyline reminded him of a diseased jaw from which many teeth have already fallen. It was true that most of the buildings were still standing, but they had a dreary, disused look that filled Eddie with an uncharacteristic gloom. And the bridge between the travelers and that shuttered maze of steel and concrete looked anything but solid and eternal. The vertical hangars on the left sagged slackly, the ones remaining on the right almost screamed with tension. The deck had been constructed of hollow concrete boxes shaped like trapezoids. Some of these had buckled upward, displaying empty black interiors, others had slipped askew. Many of these latter had merely cracked, but others were badly broken, leaving gaps big enough to drop trucks, big trucks, into. In places where the bottoms of the box sections, as well as the tops, had shattered, they could see the muddy riverbank and the gray-green water of the Send beyond it. Eddie put the distance between the deck and the water as 300 feet at the center of the bridge, and that was probably a conservative estimate. Eddie peered at the huge concrete caissons to which the main cables were anchored, and thought the one on the right side of the bridge looked as if it had been pulled partway out of the earth. He decided he might do well not to mention this fact to the others. It was bad enough that the bridge was swaying slowly but perceptibly back and forth. Just looking at it made him feel seasick. "Well," he asked Roland, "what do you think?" Roland pointed to the right side of the bridge. Here was a canted walkway about 5 feet wide. It had been constructed atop a series of smaller concrete boxes and was in effect a separate deck. This segmented deck appeared to be supported by an undercable, or perhaps it was a thick steel rod, anchored to the main support cables by huge bow clamps. Eddie inspected the closest one with the avid interest of a man who may soon be entrusting his life to the object he is studying. The bow clamp appeared rusty but still sound. The words "La Merck Foundry" had been stamped into its metal. Eddie was fascinated to realize he no longer knew if the words were in the high speech or in English. "I think we can use that," Roland said. "There's only one bad place. Do you see it?" "Yeah, it's kind of hard to miss." The bridge, which had to be at least 3/4 of a mile long, might not have had any proper maintenance for over 1,000 years, but Roland guessed that the real destruction might have been going on for only the last 50 or so. As the hangars on the right snapped, the bridge had listed farther and farther to the left. The greatest twist had occurred in the center of the bridge between the two 400-foot cable towers. At the place where the pressure of the twist was the greatest, a gaping, eye-shaped hole ran across the deck. The break in the walkway was narrower, but even so, at least 2 adjoining concrete box sections had fallen into the Send, leaving a gap at least 20 or 30 feet wide. Where these boxes had been, they could clearly see the rusty steel rod or cable which supported the walkway. They would have to use it to get across the gap. "I think we can cross," Roland said, calmly pointing. "The gap is inconvenient, but the side rail is still there, so we'll have something to hold on to." Eddie nodded, but he could feel his heart pounding hard. The exposed walkway support looked like a big pipe made of jointed steel and was probably 4 feet across at the top. In his mind's eye, he could see how they would have to edge across, feet on the broad, slightly curved back of the support, hands clutching the rail, while the bridge swayed slowly like a ship in a mild swell. "Jesus," he said. He tried to spit, but nothing came out. His mouth was too dry.
"You sure, Roland?"
"So far as I can see, it's the only way." Roland pointed downriver, and Eddie saw a second bridge. This one had fallen into the Send long ago. The remains stuck out of the water in a rusted tangle of ancient steel.
"What about you, Jake?" Susanna asked.
"Hey, no problem," Jake said at once. He was actually smiling.
"I hate you, kid," Eddie said.
Roland was looking at Eddie with some concern. "If you feel you can't do it, say so now,"
Don't get halfway across and then freeze up.
Eddie looked along the twisted surface of the bridge for a long time, then nodded.
I guess I can handle it. Heights have never been my favorite thing, but I'll manage.
Good. Roland surveyed them. Soonest begun, soonest done. I'll go first with Susanna, then Jake and Eddie's drogue. Can you handle the wheelchair?
Hey, no problem, Eddie said giddily.
Let's go, then.